Rolex wearing. Woo! Diamond ring wearing. Woo! Kiss stealing. Woo! Wheeling dealing. Woo! Limousine ride. Woo! Jet flying. Woo! Sucking on a gun. Woo! And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. They give me 2 claps and a Ric Flair. Woo!
Tim Livingston.
Emotional security is like the blanket that you tuck your soul in.
Pete Livingston.
You ready for Joe Buck to set you up? That's what I think he's saying. He's like, hey, you're about to sleep with Joe Buck.
And Sim.
This is our candy orchestra.
Mm. It's still going. Those are some good pop rocks.
Los Livingston Brothers.
This is Los Livingston Brothers Lost Episodes. Tim, dead. Sam, ran off with a pack of wolves. It is just me and Robin Brown Ward.
Faithfully here, just up the street, whenever Pete calls for me.
Yep, not Joe.
Not Joe. We invited him, but he's cooking dinner for his wife or some bullshit like that.
That's code for he's playing Destiny.
My wife made me dinner.
That's said in the Bible.
She actually did. I hope she didn't hear that, though. Man. I love you, honey. I'm so sorry. That's like I'm sorry, and I love you.
I'm always like, I think Chelsea heard what I just said. Please don't listen to my podcast.
Please don't listen to this, honey. I'm sorry, and I love you. I'm sorry, and I love you.
So this is just like mystery lost episode that we're doing because we were listening back on the other episode, which was actually a pretty good episode that we did yesterday.
Yeah.
And because of my horrible headset. Actually, I don't know if it was a headset. I have
sound
to mess ghost. With some settings.
Sound ghosts.
It was just bad.
Yeah.
Lots of popping.
Every time Pete talked, it sounded like somebody was crinkling like that plastic bubble wrap behind his head.
It was
head.
Like Orville Redenbacher, or whatever his name is, would just
but it didn't
pop
smell
in
good.
His hot white kernels
it
in my
smelled,
mouth.
It smelled like farts.
Yeah.
Even that was really weird. This is off to a really bad start.
Okay, but it's 8:53. There's no Joe. There's no Tim. Tim is doing the game that decides where the championship game will be played. If they win, the Stompers will get home field advantage. If they lose, they'll have to go to... Robin, name a horrible place in the North Bay or in the Bay Area of your choosing.
There are no horrible places in the Bay Area, so I'm going to go with Turlock.
They will be playing the Turlock Tortoises.
The armpit of California.
For the Independent League Championship. So
sounds
please,
about right.
Please win. Please win.
Please
Stompers,
win.
Please win. Do everything you can. Bring home the victory.
Also, Joe, if you're listening, we're almost out of beer. So if you could show up soon.
Joe, on your way, please bring beer.
So what are we talking about, man? Is this so, a fantasy football podcast, or are we going to keep giving each other hand jobs under the table?
I think both will suffice, but we can stay with fantasy football. Again, Tim is not here to defend his 4 quarterbacks, which... Here's the thing that sucks is that I actually just deleted the file, so now we can't even go back and listen to what he originally said about defending his 4 quarterback choice. Do you recall? I just remember he was like, I messed up on one of the picks, so I made up for it by drafting another quarterback.
All I remember is it took about 15 minutes, and the gist of it was that, yeah, he probably shouldn't have drafted the 4th one, and the other 2 or 3 were for trade value. I guess that was the gist of it, I think.
So where most people stockpile running backs, Tim stockpiles
quarterbacks. And mostly white ones?
Yeah, which was weird. I think those are the ones he wants to trade. He's like...
Probably. but, you know, I think Tim has a good team regardless of all that. And he's going to drop a quarterback and pick up a kicker and something else.
The thing is that unless...
Keep in mind, Tim was announcing a baseball game, right, yeah, during the draft. So
on, like, we know really how much, spotty...
Yeah, we know how much he loves quarterbacks, so he probably was announcing a baseball game, calling a home run, and being like, it's out of here! Oh, fuck! Ah, Newton! Shit!
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
So I also found, you know, some interesting things that I found about the draft. I didn't realize how passionate Joe was about hating Adrian Peterson. Like,
yeah, he's, you know,
like, I did not know this.
I was initially very revolted by the images that we saw in the news and the defense of corporal punishment, which made me just kind of like, well, fuck this guy. But then I saw how my draft was going to look, right? And the player I was going to be left with because someone else was going to have to draft the player that I wanted instead of Adrian Peterson.
And we have to be on our high horse.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm also glad that I wasn't faced with the decision of drafting him. So there's that too.
Well, we all were.
So I don't have to defend it if I were to draft him, which, let's face it, if he landed at 8 where I drafted and Adrian Peterson was there and I could draft, it's not likely, but...
I actually
think... I'd like to think I could be a strong... But no, I probably would have.
I probably would have.
I still like... Look at him. You see him. He's right at the top of the waiver wire. He's going to be there all year just staring you in the face. Be like, hey, what's up? I might be the best running back in football.
You know he's going to put up monster numbers.
Look at all the points I'm putting up.
The things in camp,
top of the waiver wire.
The things in camp have just been nothing but good. Like, they just came... They just said, like, he just showed up and is just burning by people, like, shouldering into people, just, like, getting contact. He, like, misses it. And every report I hear about Adrian Peterson, about how good he looks, I'm just like...
Shit. Yeah, pretty much. Oh, look, hey, I'm Adrian Peterson. I'm a free agent.
Yeah.
Come and get me. At some point, someone this year is just going to...
I'll tell you what, as soon as Ray Rice is available, I'm picking him up. As soon as I hear anything about him going on the team.
So, yeah, it's going to be rough.
Come hop on board, buddy.
I think just the fact that that unless we figure out a way to make him actually ineligible, we got to figure out something different for next year.
I think instead of being the dynasty, we should just be called the politically correct fantasy football league.
Well, yeah, but we're sexist and racist and all the... Well, I mean... We only hate certain races. We love.
I mean, Joe just. I mean, not Joe. Elliot.
We mostly hate Mexicans.
Just, yeah.
Like Joe.
Yeah. Actually, I think Joe is the only.
Because he's not here to bring us beer right now.
Yeah. But, so he's really lazy.
But we got to figure something out because you have to be able to. You have to be able to auto draft. Like, if you can't make it, that has to be a possibility.
True.
And to have a player of that caliber at the top of the draft, ready to mess you up and just screw over your first-round pick, I think we either have to, you know, make it just a one-year ban and bring him back, or there's got to be a way to, I don't know. But I think it would just suck for someone that since we got people all over the place, we got East Coast, we got England, we got Seattle, you know.
This is a worldwide league.
Yeah.
Get on board with
it. We are worldwide, astute fantasy football people.
Very much so.
We have an Englishman.
We do. Distinguished.
He actually has an English accent now. It's pretty gross.
I just remember driving down for your bachelor party. And you're like, listen, Pete. I was like, what's up? You're like, Maddie's going to be there. Maddie Hughes? Yeah, Matt Hughes is going to be there. Awesome. I haven't seen him in a long time. No, I know that. But I have to tell you something.
There's something different about him.
Yeah, I'm like, what? You're like, he has an English accent now. I was just like, what do you mean? You're like, and you proceeded to describe the accent to me, and just like, it was as if you're telling me you had cancer. I was just like,
well, you know, when a little part of your friend dies. It's it's normal. We're in a mourning period. It's more a cadence thing.
Yes.
He just has changed his cadence and his vocabulary, too.
And his inflection.
You know, he calls. Yeah, exactly.
It's very British.
Yeah, totally. Well, and garbage is rubbish and, you know, all kinds of other rubbish like that. So it's a little hard to deal with sometimes.
You know, he's moving back.
He is.
So what's the over under? We'll say
how long before the English accent's back?
We'll say a year and a half. Over under before the English accent is gone and he's just a good old Californian.
I think he can do it in 8 months. I think he can get right back in the groove, because I actually think it'll be faster, because we are going to relentlessly make fun of him for it. Just no mercy.
I think it'll mainly be like you and like Spencer.
And Joe.
Yeah. Oh, and Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you three will.
Listen, our friendships are powered by peer pressure and alcohol.
Oh, I've found out.
So, you know.
Oh, how I found out. Guilting, peer pressure, lots of guilting.
Listen, we get what we want.
I know. I'm sorry, but if you would have shown up earlier when Chelsea was like, listen, we're not doing a barbecue, she would have like probably had like a shotgun in hand, like, listen.
You get the fuck out of here.
Unless you have another girl.
You get my husband drunk one more time. Yeah. You're fucking out of here. Yeah, I know. That happens. Joe's wife used to say the same thing. Sorry, yeah. Katie.
Love you.
I love you. I sincerely Please doubt any woman has ever listened to this podcast.
There would be a few times I'd be like, Chelsea, just like when we were doing a radio show. Actually, it was more like it's just a glorified podcast. And Chelsea was just like, I'm not going to listen to your show. Just listen to the show. And she listened like 10 or 15 minutes and be like, it was amusing, but then I couldn't listen anymore.
You guys are cute. I should take up back the lady thing, because we do have a lady listener, Brianne.
We do.
In our league.
Lady of the league.
Lady of the league. So I apologize for being sexist. It's not my fault. It is my fault.
But you did draft in a kitchen.
She did. She did draft in a kitchen. So I feel like it's not totally our fault for being sexist.
That was very much in my mind for like all the 2 hours. I'm just like, Brianne is sitting there at the kitchen table drafting.
Drafting fantasy football.
Fantasy football.
And making spaghetti sauce from scratch.
Yeah. I want that pasta al dente. And I want it hot. If you bring it cold, you know what happens. Just kidding. Love you.
So.
Chelsea says I only get one sexist joke a day. Usually I stretch it to like 12, but one a day. And one light domestic violence joke. Like,
it's a fair quota. I lay off the domestic violence
ones. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm definitely not allowed to make the domestic violence, you know, comments around other people.
Oh, yes. But if it's just like me and Chelsea, I'm like, Chelsea, make me a sandwich. Or
yeah.
I'll like,
yeah, totally.
I'll give you a fresh one.
I actually made my wife a sandwich tonight, so I shouldn't.
I actually made dinner tonight. I'm not going to lie. So it's like, who's really in the kitchen? I'll just throw that out there. Hey, Belt grounded out the first, but a run scored 8-1.
Oh. Did you get an RBI?
Yeah.
He's on my fantasy team.
Go Cubs.
I love you and I hate you, Belt. God.
Apparently the Giants just don't want to take over first place.
No, they don't.
In the NL West.
And the Dodgers just want to give it away. They're like, listen, we're not meant for this. We're going to get scraped in the playoffs by the Cardinals.
No
matter what we do.
We're trying to tank and unload. Just take first.
Just take it away.
Come on, guys.
Listen, we'd rather fail now than in the playoffs again. So just... why don't you do us a favor, win a few games, we'll make it a chase at the end, and you can just take over. And
we'll be like, oh, no, we lost. Like, oh, man.
Let's trade Hanley Ramirez to Boston or let him go. I don't know what happened. But
something will happen. Magic Johnson, save us. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We're losing. Oh.
Eventually, we will talk about our fantasy football league, folks.
We have been.
Right?
Just not,
not
necessarily like, we talked about Matt Hughes in the league.
Yeah.
Talked about Brianne also in the league.
We talked about our fearless leader, Gadelia Paisley?
We did on our.
In the podcast that never happened.
That will never air.
pretty much.
But we'll try and replicate it.
Pete spoke into a mic that had Pop Rocks in it, so couldn't really
understand. It was an iPhone. I'm putting you on blast, iPhone. Step your game up.
Seriously. Who'd have thought that iPhone headphones with the phone mic in them would not make a good recording? Why not? Why couldn't they do that?
But this will sound great. This podcast that we're doing is going to sound amazing.
So
the mics are good. The levels are good. The quality is good. And we are working on, I've been looking at improving the equipment for, if anybody wants to donate money, Venmo me. Venmo me money.
The equipment is shitty. The conversation is nonsensical and erratic at best. But, you know, we're trying. So,
hey, we are what we are. We don't try to be anything else.
And we're not going to fucking apologize.
No, not at all. Except to our wives. Sorry.
Except to our wives. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to swear on recording.
Don't let Desi listen to this. Earmuffs, Desi. Earmuffs. So, earmuffs.
What's our format here? Are we going to talk about the league itself? Are we going to go through teams? Are we going to talk about what we liked and didn't like?
I'm just curious where you think. I know, like, we all almost think, oh, I'm going to win. I'm going to win the whole thing. Suck my balls. But, like, what do you think, like, honestly, how do you see yourself finishing? Elliot, I was surprised. Elliot's like, I see you coming in, like, fourth again this year. And I was like, really?
Elliot didn't have me making the playoffs.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. So
did it?
Yeah. So obviously, but someone's got an axe.
Was that posted on? Did he do a prediction?
It was just in the podcast at the end of the second podcast. Okay.
So you can listen to that. That's episode 196.
That is
five.
Yeah, it's already up in all its glory.
Is it 95 or 96? Was it during the recap or during the draft?
I don't know. It's your fucking podcast.
Recap.
Man.
It was during the recap. 196, Elliot does that. And we did talk. We talked about that podcast in the podcast that is never going to be released. Never see the light of day.
Listen, I don't think I'm the best team out there, but I think I make the playoffs for sure. Especially with the recent Arian Foster news that says that he might not go on injured reserve and might make it back earlier. That's just... If that happens, that's amazing. I'm not banking on it. I wasn't when I drafted him.
Count your blessings, Arian Foster.
Yeah, really. Count your blessings.
Like, please.
Like, please, literally. Maybe say some prayers, dog. Lay off the atheism shit in the news.
And we talked about this. It's like, coincidence? I think not. That article comes out. Tim Tebow gets picked up by Philly. Scores a touchdown. Looks pretty good.
Arian Foster's groin gets detached from the bone.
Yeah.
I need surgery. And maybe he did some praying in the hospital, and that's what's going on.
He's just
I don't know.
Whoa, this is way out of hand. This got blown way out of proportion. Like,
I do think that Joe is an obvious number one. I don't think there's any way you can look at his team, and he's just stacked top to bottom. And he got way better running backs than I could have expected. You know, I didn't expect McCoy to make it to him.
I did. Wait, what? When did he get McCoy?
9. He was right after me at 9.
So he went McCoy at 9?
But I thought you might draft McCoy.
I wanted to, but then hamstring stuff scares me.
Yeah,
because
totally.
You need for it to go away. Actually, my theory is that it never truly goes away. The hamstring stuff will always be lingering.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, he already has a pretty heavy workload. Mm-hmm. Same reason why I didn't go with Matt Forte. It's just like, I don't want to deal with that. And he's at Buffalo, and everything is so in flux up there. And he could have a great, you know, he's just going to get touches crammed down his throat, which is like good. But I'm like, what's the breaking point?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So that's definitely why I got scared off of him and Forte.
Yeah.
It's because Forte has gotten nothing but just multiple touches just crammed down his throat for years. And
definitely, I just didn't feel confident. In all our previous conversations, I just had it in my head that you were going to take a running back because you felt you had to.
I did.
I think you were smart not to. I think you probably got the highest scoring player at that spot.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. we talked earlier about how shocked we were about DeMarco Murray going at three, which is probably the biggest kind of surprise and change in that draft. You know, there are a few others later on, you know, kind of at the swing, the wraparound between rounds one and two that also were pretty surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But the combination of DeMarco Murray going at three and Jordy Nelson coming up with a torn ACL literally 2 minutes before our draft.
Thanks, Tim.
Tim Livingston.
Tim literally.
You're the man.
He probably saved Joe's draft.
We probably shouldn't talk shit about Tim because he saved one of us from thinking we got a stud wide receiver and then Googling Mitt. Can you imagine? During our podcast, someone would have figured that out. And it would have, we probably,
it probably would have been like Elliot was on multiple things and kind of chatting and doing a lot of stuff. I was more focusing on the podcast, but guarantee you somebody would have broken that.
We would have heard a grown man crying on our podcast.
Yeah.
And Tim saved us from that, which is amazing. But also maybe it would have been cool to have a grown man crying.
Yeah. Well,
on a podcast.
You almost saw that yesterday. I was doing not my broadcast. I was drafting. And they got timed out of the Yahoo.
I did.
I got auto drafted. Like, Jordy Nelson. You're like, Jesus, I've never seen you up mad ever.
I hadn't.
You're angry.
I showed up here and Tim was like kind of pacing around and like yelling at the computer. And I thought him and his brother were having like a little brother spat or something. And I walked into it. And really, he was just ticked off at his internet connection because he was trying to draft. But I legit was like, do I need to go? Like, it's like when you walk into a room and a couple's fighting.
Yeah. Like when you go over to your friends' houses and like their parents were at each other's throats and you're like, they're like, no, it's okay.
No,
go
it's
to
fine.
Jimmy's in the back room. Just go. You're like,
No. Really, Pete was just upset with his draft because you did take Jordy Nelson, didn't you? In a standard league where he will do you no good, you probably already dropped him.
Yeah, I'm already dropping him and picking up, I think, Wheaton from.
Okay. Who's still a free agent in our league, by the way? I think he gets picked up tonight, but
we will see.
We shall see. And then the other thing we covered in our podcast previously, the hidden podcast, the forever never you'll never hear it podcast, was the two quarterbacks thing. We had Brianne make a bold move.
I say if she's not getting insane draft value for next year, you just hold on to both of them. If somebody's like, I'll give you like a third.
Yeah.
No, and like, I'll give you Andy Dalton in like a third rounder and then like a 14th rounder. I'd be like, nah.
Is that your Matt Keiser voice?
Does he have Andy Dalton?
No.
Is that one?
No. Well, if you'd included 3 fifth-round picks in there, that would have been right.
But I'm like, if I'm having that, it's like, well.
Yeah, and I
you
I
would have to give me big, big stuff. Otherwise, I'm just like, fine, I would be fine with just letting that talent just sit on my bench and watch the rest of the league just squirm.
And getting to the trade deadline, you could deal them both. And maybe you don't get a first round pick for one of them, but maybe you get an excellent keeper for each of them. You know, like Joe gave up Carlos Hyde for Aaron Rodgers last year. You know,
I would do that.
Yeah,
I have no faith in Carlos Hyde. Love you, Carlos Hyde.
Nonetheless,
big fan of the show.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
You know how I feel.
Carlos.
We've talked. You mean Tim? We've talked plenty of times. I just don't have faith. But I would just. I don't know. It's like, how much does winning the league mean to you? Give me a first rounder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much does $300 mean to you? Would you give me a first rounder for $300?
Is that how much we win?
I have no idea.
It's a lot less than that.
I just threw out a number. I don't even know.
In year one, I won the championship and took number one in points, and I think I got like $180 or something like that. So, I don't know. I mean, unless you take first place overall in the regular season and then win and take points,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much more money you can win. I mean, that would be more. I'm sure Elliot can tell us.
I won points last year. Which, by the skin of my teeth.
$40 or $60 or I can't remember.
I think it was like 60.
We're messing this up. We shouldn't even talk about the numbers since we don't have it in front of us. People are just going to
You can
yell.
Always speculate.
They're just going to
yell away. Yell away. You know what? Yell louder because I can't hear you. You're small. Anyway.
Listen, we like to get the facts straight here. So
we just like to kind of paint with big, broad generalizations.
We're shooting from the hip, so.
Yeah. I think you get 10,000 10 bucks.
10,000 10 bucks.
Which is like 500 million pesos?
Okay.
If my currency app is correct. Tim,
where are you?
Are you out there?
I have no idea what a 10 buck is.
Oh.
I'm really glad I don't own any because I have a feeling I know what he buys with 10 bucks.
Robot penises and prostitutes.
Yeah, definitely robot penises.
And blow.
Yep. Easily all three of those things. No matter
what. It's
the
chief export of Timberland.
So I got a question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
I have an answer.
I know you do. We already talked about it yesterday.
Okay.
But with regards to our commissioner's rankings and the fact that he has himself and myself tied, whose record would you rather have?
Well, yours because you have the champion. I know.
I rest my case.
I guarantee you, and we'll have to look back on this, I think that he conceded that you should be ranked ahead of him because you have the championship. He said, like, you guys are tied, but the tiebreaker goes to you because you have the championship. I'm pretty sure he said that. If he didn't, then I will admit that Elliot is wrong, and it should be that way. Like, well, tie goes to the runner.
He did say he was fine with championships calling it, but it didn't have any effect on his current rank, and then
Well, it's like if you guys both have equal points, then you're both ranked the same. It's just like,
yes, but
you have the asterisk, but like
at
you
this point.
Are the overall champion. Like you have the edge, you have the tiebreaker.
I rest my case.
Yeah,
that's all. We can move on,
and I think that's fine. Now I'm like interested in like what Elliot's is. Elliot like. No.
I think we could ask Elliot the same question. I think he'd rather...
Elliot,
what do you think? Would you rather finish second twice like you did? Or would you rather finish first and third like I did and have a championship?
What's more impressive?
And I think the answer to that question is the flaw in your rankings.
I think the most impressive thing is winning in points and having back-to-back fourth place finishes.
And keeping Antonio Brown with a third-round pick. I mean, obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't I get points for that? Yeah, no?
You do. You get Antonio Brown with a third-round pick, and you get to love that.
At first, I was like, oh, man, they don't have a third-round pick. And then I was like, wait, it's Antonio Brown. I feel okay. I'm okay with that.
So who do you think your surprise was? I'm going to put you on the spot again, since we don't have a script here. Who do you think had the best surprise draft? Who do you think was dead in the water or was not in good position that you'd previously ranked and did well? Or even someone you thought had a chance to be good and did well?
Well, I kind of talked about this yesterday, and I do feel that for the most part, I was happy to say that I think that everybody actually had a fairly solid draft. I think the people that are going to be hurting the most, who is it that didn't draft? Is it Pat?
Didn't draft a quarterback, yeah.
I mean, I won't say that's a sound strategy.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. I mean, I didn't draft a kicker, but there are 15 good kickers out there.
That's, you know, you can just take flyers on kickers all.
Yeah. But we had multiple teams draft two quarterbacks. I drafted
two
quarterbacks.
Some drafted four.
Some drafted four. Love you, Tim.
Tim,
we're still talking shit, even after all this. Also, just a point of reference, since Tim's not here to defend himself, in previous podcasts, he was talking about how he was going to gloat about the better player he was going to get in the third round.
Oh, the third round. And I'm glad, because we had a very heated discussion on that, like, a few episodes ago. Let me fix my microphone cord.
Again, I'll ask you another question. Would you rather have Frank Gore with your third round pick or Roddy White?
I know. I warned Tim. It's like, Tim, do you not listen to... You know what? That's the interesting thing. I'm always interested in people's valuations over mine. I value people and evaluate people like fairly differently from I think most people. Kind of like the 1 year or last year where I was like, I'm going to keep Andrew Luck and Julio Jones.
I'm not going to lie. I did not like that at all. But both of them were incredible. You know, Luck was the highest scoring quarterback and Julio Jones was one of the top wide receivers.
Yeah,
I think
it was top five.
Top five, definitely. Might have been top three. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But still, it was just kind of like, I saw that and I'm like, I think the only argument I could make for that was you probably could have gotten Luck in the third round. And Julio, that'd be a stretch. I think keeping Julio with the second, no big deal.
Mm-hmm. My whole mindset was...
But I bet you could have kept your first round pick.
I didn't want to gamble it. I just knew I was like, I value this person as a first rounder, as the best quarterback.
And there's nothing wrong
with that. If I value him there, then I'm just going to take him because I don't want to risk. And that's really why I did it. I was like, I like him. I feel that confident about him. So why not just hold on to him? And so that's what I did. And then the same thing with Julio Jones. It's like, yeah, I would like a chance to get him later or whatever, but there's a good chance that somebody will be like, oh, Julio Jones. I like Julio Jones.
Yeah, I'm going to take DeMarco Murray at three, you know.
Right.
No, and you turned out to be right.
So that's usually like that stuff happens quite a bit where I'm like, I like this guy a lot. I think he'll be good. Like, I don't know. Not that I'm some big – if I was some big, huge guru, I would – win every year, but I think where my biggest problem is I always have a hard time just like dumping picks in players to get some of the bigger guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know that was my downfall last year is I'd made no big, huge trades and everybody else had like the power teams going into the playoffs.
Yep. Didn't do me any good. I traded for Brandon Marshall from Matt Keiser,
mm-hmm.
and for DeMarco Murray, and I gave up Latavius Murray, who's the starter for the Raiders, for those players. DeMarco Murray ended up hurt, and Brandon Marshall, same thing. So I basically went in without them.
Yeah.
So I gave up Latavius Murray, who would have been a nice keeper. We'll see whether he's a great running back this year.
I think he'll be fine. I just don't think he'll be healthy for 16 games.
Yeah, maybe not. So sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. You never know. You really don't. But I think you do have to make those moves because someone else is, and mm-hmm. And multiple. You know, Joe traded for Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, and
which is just retarded. The other thing is that those trades were, I hate to say the word, but they were retarded trades. I was just like, if I would have known that's what you would give up or that's what you would want. For Aaron Rodgers or for all these, I would do that in a heartbeat.
It's a little bit of it's totally different than an NFL or a Major League Baseball trading market because not everyone's active like you. Mm-hmm. So there are typically three or four buyers at the end of the year, and not everyone is willing to deal or is responsive
mm-hmm.
towards the end. So you end up dealing with the people that are willing to make trades, you know, like I've traded with Keiser in consecutive seasons each time.
Right? I've traded with him too.
And with Elliot and with other people. And it seems to be that there's the same group of people. I've made trades with other people too. But
there are traders and then there are people who just like to
mm-hmm.
keep everything closely guarded.
Definitely. So it's not as free of a market. Whereas if you're in the NFL, every single general manager is evaluating all possibilities and all trades and considering every single mm-hmm. thing. So it's a little different. So it's not the same kind of market where you can get the highest bidder or anything like that. So I think sometimes these teams are looking at next year and Latavius Murray being a potential number one that they can keep undrafted looks, you know, pretty darn good compared to, I think I had Dante Moncrief who he didn't.
As opposed to like having somebody that you're not going to have next year.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of what happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's different this year. Every single year is going to be different, no mm-hmm. doubt. But that's definitely what happened last year
mm-hmm.
was that there was one or two teams and I personally am fairly unwilling to give up top three draft picks for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
I just probably won't do it.
I don't think I'll do it anymore. I just not having a second round pick. I did something similar 2 years ago. I think I didn't have a third or something. I had Andrew Luck and Julio Jones, but then I had no running back, and I was just lucky enough to be able to go and snag Forsett, and he kind of helped supplement my season a little bit. And then I had Fred Jackson because I say it, he's consistent.
Everybody's... You didn't end up with Alfred Morris, by the way.
I didn't. Somebody else did. Somebody else will get a solid 9 points a game.
9.7. I mean, come on. Let's not sell him short.
Okay. He'll probably get like 9 points. I'll say that, 9.7 a game.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, he'll get you, you know, 15 because he'll score five touchdowns, but...
That'd be a little more than 15 points. I don't have
like 90 yards.
Five touchdowns?
No, not in a game.
Well, that's what you just said.
Like, I meant in a year.
Oh, in a year. You know. Five touchdowns a year. Yeah.
You know what, though? What's funny is that when RG3 got hurt, I was like, well, Alfred Morris is screwed. Like, I mean, he'll still get like 1,000 yards, you know, but it's just their offense is just going to be so dismal. But there's a part of me that actually thinks that, like, who is it? Kerry Collins? Is that their quarterback? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling.
Cousins.
Or Cousins.
Yeah.
I think it's Cousins.
I think it's Cousins.
I actually think that that's a good thing for their team because he actually had a pretty good track record with DeSean Jackson. I think like the five games or whatever, six games where he was the quarterback, DeSean Jackson had like four or five games where he was like 100 yards and like a touchdown.
No, Cousins was a waiver wire pickup that probably saved some teams for a while there. Mm-hmm. He had some games, and Matt Hughes of the MCR Silly Nannies ended up with consistent Alfred Morris. Yeah. Are you going to trade for him?
If I do, it wouldn't be for... I would trade for him.
Will you give me Drew Brees for a ham sandwich since you stole him from me?
If it's...
It was rightfully mine. He was right there. I was reaching out to grab him. True. And you were like, fuck you, Robin. I'm going to take Drew Brees.
That's actually what I think I said that out loud. Check the podcast. I think I said, fuck you, Robin. Fuck you.
Yeah. I pretty much threw my computer. Then again, the whole league would have been mad at you.
Yes. But I would trade for Alfred Morris. I'm pretty open for trades in general. Trading's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it. I just don't know if I'm not going to trade any of my top three picks. It's just I would rather just pick what's available in the first two or three rounds than or keep somebody within the first three rounds instead of trading away a pick again. I just don't think I could do it.
And let the season breathe a little. You know, there's always going to be flux and change.
Oh, that's why I didn't have a second. It's because...
Yeah, the Gronkowski trade.
I needed... I don't even remember who my running backs were at the time. It was like... I was relying on, like, Fred Jackson and, like, whoever the hell I could find on the waiver wire. And I was like, well, I have a chance to get Gio Bernard. I had Delanie Walker on my bench.
And you're like, oh, Gio's going to be a good keeper, too? And then...
Yeah, then he got hurt.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to get him again this year, but I didn't have...
Joe took him.
Picked up.
Yeah.
Giovanni Bernard, I think, will be fine this year. He won't, obviously...
Joe did really well on running backs, considering that he started with just C.J. Anderson as a keeper. You know, we talked about how great his keeper list was, and they were, but he just had C.J. Anderson, which meant that he did need to get running backs. And for him to get McCoy and Giovanni Bernard and who was the other one? Todd Gurley was the other one. So
people
Todd
like
Gurley's
going to
take over in St. Louis at some
people
point.
People must see something in him that I don't.
They see a vicious downhill runner, basically, which is what he is.
He'll be hurt by his third game.
It could be. You never know.
They don't have a very good offensive line.
No, they don't.
They don't have a good quarterback to protect them.
They face some tough defenses. So the 49ers, while depleted, you still see that Navarro Bowman is a stud.
Looked very good.
Yeah, can cause some trouble. So, but nonetheless, that's having C.J. Anderson, LeSean McCoy, and Todd Gurley and Giovanni Bernard is a decent set of four running backs to rely on.
I will say it was pleasant.
And I think he got someone else later on, too, but I... Oh, no, he... J.J., that whole kicker controversy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, he's Steve...
Hashanuka? Hushamazilla?
Yeah. Hushamazoo?
Yeah. Well, it serves you right for trying to keep a kicker.
Very...
Or whatever.
Interesting strategy. Kept the defense, kept the kicker.
I kept the defense, but I didn't keep a kicker.
Just interesting strategy. I was like, all right.
I think I personally feel that having some amount of flexibility in your roster is really, really important in any season. Like if you have the perfect star-studded roster where you feel you cannot drop a player, I think that makes it harder for you as the season goes on. Number one, to pick up that up-and-coming player that becomes an excellent keeper for the following season, or to give up on something, that a player that's maybe past their prime or injured or not being featured in the offense, whatever it is. I think you have to be okay. You need at least one spot in your roster at all times. Just to make through the bye weeks, you need one spot in your roster that you're okay with jettisoning.
With dumping.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. You have to. I always need one expendable person.
So
it's like, if it works out, great. If not, you're
gone.
Every week, I'm always looking. Yep.
You need that. Maybe even two spots. But you can't always have that. I mean, sometimes you could have a roster loaded with talent. And you know, maybe in that point you need to maybe try and trade a couple players for one. But
is Joe coming over?
I don't know. He hasn't responded back. He's still cooking dinner for his wife.
Jesus,
apparently.
That was like 2 hours ago.
I know. Let's see. Hold on. This is riveting this podcast, just I'm sure.
Hey, but we've done worse.
Joe still has not responded. I'm going to send him a "What's your deal, man?" text right now.
You're supposed to talk right now. We're talking. It's fun.
Okay. You're supposed to be talking.
No, I'm not. I want people to hear the text going through. There you go. We've done.
Joe's been put on blast. What else? What else do we need to cover about that amazing thing? That was a crazy draft, by the way. again, the dust settled a little bit, and
well, you just have to think about this. It was like ben-a-meh. Draft started, and then Tim was like, nobody picked Jordan Nelson. He blew out his knee, done for the year. And everybody, first off, you had to register. There's somebody there trying to draft their first number one overall pick, and then Tim drops this bomb, and everybody's like, what the hell is this real? Is he messing with us? And so everybody is sitting there. It's like this murmur in the room. Like, is this real? Is he just being a total D-bag right now? And then the picks start flying. And I'm actually sitting there trying to confirm this while these other picks are going on. What did you destroy?
I don't know. I think it was a...
Okay. Just something. Something.
But yeah, it was like, is this true? I Googled it too, and there it was right away. Yeah. Jordy Nelson.
Able to find it, and then by that time, picks 1, 2, and 3, the third pick was happening, and then right when we were just starting to talk about Jordy Nelson, it was like, boom, DeMarco Murray got picked at the 3 spot. Tim, instant robot boner, joygasm, just oil everywhere, beast mode, and then it was just like, my turn, and I was just like, this is a lot to take in right now. The draft just started. Jordy Nelson blew out his knee. These picks. DeMarco Murray got picked? That means Mark Forte's sitting there? And I'm just trying to register all this. And then I'm just sitting there thinking, do I want Matt Forte? Like, there's a part of me just, if I was just blind instinct, I would have just been like, running back Matt Forte.
Yeah.
But I had to go back. I was like, no, you went through all of this. You thought all this through. You evaluated who could possibly be there for that 5th pick and who you would want. And you pretty much said, unless it was beast mode, you would only get Dez Bryant.
And I think that's the right choice. And you had moved yourself towards that in the days prior also.
Yeah.
But I think with DeMarco Murray gone in Dallas, Tony Romo is probably going to be hucking the football around a bit more. Because Joseph Randle is not DeMarco Murray, let's face it.
No.
That could be a little bit of an S show.
He'll do his best impersonation.
Yeah. So I think you made a good choice on that part. I don't.
I just try to look at it strictly from a statistical, from a point standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how many points is Dez going to get me?
Yeah.
Maybe around 200 points.
Yeah.
I would
maybe
want that
230.
I would want that from any position. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
And I was like, how many points do I think
LeSean McCoy or Matt Forte?
And I had thought about Matt Forte, even the fact of him coming to me, and I went through the whole thing, and the fact that he's almost 30, and he's had tons and tons and tons and tons of touches, and has even shown signs of wearing down. I talk about quality touches, and then there's just getting force-fed touches. And you look at somebody like Frank Gore, and it's like, well, if you look at his past 3 years, he got quality touches. He was only getting probably not even 20 touches a game and still putting up like 100-something total yards and like a touchdown.
Yep.
Because they were well-designed. As much as we like to dump all over Greg Roman and the offense and all this stuff, they put him in the best position to succeed.
Yeah.
Whereas Matt Forte, they were just like, we got nothing else going on. We're just going to throw you every pass we can. We're going to hand the ball off to you as many times as we can. And he had, 400 or 500 receiving yards and 1,200 rushing yards. But it's like, I don't think he can replicate that. And if there's anybody that's just going to explode in a bad way, I was just like, it had to be Matt Forte.
Yeah.
And I just, again, my biggest thing is eliminating variance. And I feel like I'd be taking more of a gamble on Matt Forte, which is something I don't necessarily like to do, especially that early in a draft. And I want somebody that I would figure would be a little bit more consistent.
And Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown combined might score more points than a lot of teams' wide receiver core, in total, three of them or maybe even four of them on some teams. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible. But at the same time, you also created huge value for the next pick, who probably didn't think that a decent running back was going to fall to Scott, who is the guy picked after you. I don't think that he had any thought that Forte was going to land him.
Probably not at all.
Yeah.
I had him going with
I
keep wanting to call him Chad Johnson.
Calvin
Johnson. Yeah. I do.
We may have overplayed his love for Detroit.
Well, I just thought my whole mindset is.
And again, we love the Niners, but none of us valued any of their players highly. So
no, not at all. the reason why I talk highly about Calvin Johnson, because when he's healthy, he is the best wide receiver in football. There's nobody who's better than him. But again, it's variance. I don't want to have 5 weeks in the season where I'm trying to fill in for an injured Calvin Johnson. I want somebody who's going to be in there and at least producing for me every week. He may not have the 25 or 30 point games that Calvin Johnson could have, with like a 2 or 3 touchdown game, but I'll take, a 12, a 15 point Dez Bryant game over the bursts of Calvin Johnson. And then he hurts his leg again, or he hurts his shoulder and then he's out. And then I just can't do that.
Yep. No, and that's why he dropped to the very end of the first round, Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
And
which you actually have to be kind of happy about if you're getting him that late.
Yeah, the player I wanted in the first round was Demaryius, who was taken right in front of me by Matt Hughes, who was the 7th overall pick.
Oh, I didn't really want that early.
He was my wide receiver rankings went Dez, Demaryius, and then Julio. That's how I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was a chance that Demaryius made it to me. But very many scenarios. I had basically every scenario I had DeMarco Murray making it all the way to my pick.
Right.
I didn't I had basically eliminated running backs in my first round. I wanted to make it simple for myself. Unless something ridiculous made it to me, like, you know, Marshawn Lynch or some stupidness like that.
You're going to go with plan A.
I was going to go with plan A, which is that I'm going to trust that, Frank Gore and Mark Ingram and the combination of the New York Giants backfield was going to be good enough to get me by for the time being at running back. And that I was just going to get stud wide receivers. And I never could have imagined that I would have gotten Julio and AJ. I thought that I had a couple scenarios where I got, you know, Julio and Cobb and stuff like that.
Right.
But especially once Jordy went down, the fact that that happened, that was pretty shocking to me. I was super surprised. Very surprised by Marcos's picks, too. Calvin, no problem with, but then to follow that up with Jimmy Graham.
Instead of one of the quarterbacks.
Instead of one of the quarterbacks or AJ Green, for that matter, you know. Jimmy Graham could be an awesome pick. We talked about it at length in the
He would go in the second round anyway. And so if you were somebody who was like, I like him, I know he'll get picked in the second round, he's not going to come back to me, then that would totally make sense.
And also, I think we can safely say this because I don't know that Marcos has listened to the podcast, but I don't think Marcos is going to be a super active manager slash trading stuff like that. So
Marcos will be the guy who just sets his roster and leaves it,
and then
makes the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I could see something silly like that happening, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be constantly on the waiver wire.
No, God, and
things like that. He's just not that kind of guy. He's pretty laid back. So, so we'll see how that goes for him. Typically, I would say activity equates to success in fantasy football, but not always.
I know plenty of, I've played in plenty of leagues where people just make too many moves.
Yeah. There's always the outliers, you know, you can see both of them, you know, both sides where you got people making way too many moves and not enough moves and team completely unmanaged teams making it to the championship and even winning.
I had a buddy who auto drafted 2 years in a row and won both years.
Wow. Yeah.
That and it was happens. Like, and he was like getting like, you know, like Adrian Peterson would like fall to him, and Adrian Peterson would just like blow up, and
yeah,
just crap like that.
Yep,
it's yep. awesome.
Well, I like to think that that would be tough to happen in our league, just because of how active we've proven to be and the trading at the end of the season. But it's not out of the realm of possibility
true.
A completely unmanaged team would make it through. It's tough with bye weeks. Making True. It through those weeks, but you never know.
You could just like try and draft an all bye week team, which I know people do.
Joe talked about that in year one. It backfired horribly.
Did he do it?
Kind of.
Is that why he did
end up
last? Doing it.
He ended up facing me in his quote unquote bye week, where he had like five players on bye.
That has to be so. I would be so happy to run like into that. Somebody but who's. Just
I think
like,
you have to try to win every week, no matter what.
I think if it's known from the get-go that you're like, I'm going to have like seven people on a bye week.
I think you got to do something about it.
No,
wins are
then
not guaranteed in the other weeks and stuff like that. You can't,
well, if your team's good enough, like say you're like 8-0 and you have a bye week and you're like, I'm not going to drop anybody. My team's on fire. I'll take the L.
Well, yeah, if you're 8-0,
you know what I mean.
But I'm from an actual sports perspective, like if you're managing an actual team, you're not going to throw any game, no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Not even the Giants throw games. They rest guys and win.
Yeah. So. You're gonna win.
What do you have any other thoughts that you want to touch on before you get out of here and drink more beer?
I think we got a lot of good teams out there. I'm really excited for the start of the season. Super excited.
2 weeks away, I think.
Yeah, a couple weeks away. And I think that we've got some super teams out there, but like we saw last year, I thought Keezer's team was amazing last year too, and the puzzle pieces didn't quite come together. I think he's got another good team this year, and we'll see if he can put it all together. And I think Joe is the guy to beat. I think you got to take him down.
Oh, that won't be a problem.
Since I play him twice, we'll need to do some damage, hopefully in week one. And then,
ooh, that's a fun week one.
And then maybe again in week five when Arian Foster comes back.
Do we have any bets going?
No, none.
Do you want to put out a challenge to Joe? My rivalry week is not a rivalry game. It's like I'm playing.
You're not
like,
playing your brother or something like
no,
that?
No, I'm playing like Tahir. And it's like I don't even like we don't even.
See, ours are good. Like Brian and Marcos live together. They're week one, and Joe and I are, you know, best friends, so we're in it, and the only two champions so far. So we're
frenemies.
Yeah. So Joe's defending his title, and I want to knock him off the top, and so
it'd be fun. We should put some type of like
some sort of wager on it.
What is Joe has to like? For each point that you beat Joe by, he has to do like a shot of a condiment.
A condiment? Oh, yeah. Dude, that's a good one.
Of like
actually.
Mustard.
I was expecting something drinking related, but no, Joe has to take like a ketchup shot.
Yeah.
Oh man.
A ketchup, a mustard, a mayonnaise.
Oh yeah. Oh dude, he would die. Like, are you kidding? Joe, put it out here. This is my side of it. I beat you week one. You have to take back to back to back ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise, which has to be last. Mayonnaise must be the last one.
Room warm mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah, why not? Little shot size ones, you know, in a row. I don't know what my end of it would be.
Yeah,
I want to know. He's probably going to come up with something really fucking terrible, like way worse than that. He's going to be like, well, I'm going to take a dump in a hot dog and make you eat it.
No. I would not let that stand.
I tell you what, if we're gonna go with foods that we hate, I hate pickles. So,
I love pickles.
Yeah, well, I hate them. So if Joe has to
food
take
food that I don't know what food. I'd have to think about food that I don't like. For the longest time, it was like I didn't like tomatoes, but now I like tomatoes, but. I don't know. I'm trying to.
So maybe a pickle for condiments.
There's certain cheeses I hate.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck. I love every cheese. Are you kidding me?
I can't remember what kind it was. It was kind of a really sharp, bitter, stinky cheese. We had it. We went to Aventine. Me and Chelsea did, and we got a cheese plate. And they gave it to us, and I had to like cover it in like honey and bread and like. Jam, because I had to just mask it. And this one time we were in France, and we got on the bus to go to our airport to fly to Italy, and we bought a thing of cheese, and we hadn't like tasted it or anything, and we were walking around in the middle of summer in France, and we got on this bus with no air conditioner, and then we were like, oh, let's eat some of the cheese while like, because we were hungry. And we opened it up, and it was all warm and hot and muggy, and the cheese was just smelled like crap, and we're like eating it, and we're like, whoa. So I don't know, maybe certain kind of. I love cheese, but I think there's certain.
It sounds like probably you just had like fucked up warm ass melted cheese.
Right.
I mean, that sounds terrible.
It's probably just like
dick
cheese.
Ew, some schmegma.
Yeah.
Get some schmegma for lunch. Some schmegma spread.
Yeah. The spread.
Other than that, I'm excited. This is a cool league. We have you know, an awesome chat group in our Slack. And
oh, you know what I really don't like? I would outside of like, you know, when people just say, oh, you have to have crappy alcohol. What I actually don't like at all are bitter beers, like sour beers.
Oh yeah,
like I do.
Yeah,
I
not a fan.
Don't like them at all.
I don't like Hefeweizens. To me, if I want a pumpkin pie, I'm gonna have a pumpkin pie. I don't need it to be my beer. So
right.
So
I don't like sours or bitters or whatever they are, but they're expensive. So I wouldn't want somebody to like beat me and then buy me really expensive beer that I'm just like, I don't know. We got to figure out something.
Yeah, I think the safe bet for Joe and I is alcohol related, but
it's probably for everybody.
Yeah. But whatever. I'm not sure I want to make. I remember when you were supposed to slap Joe in the face at the end of the season?
Yeah, I wish I did it a lot harder.
Yeah.
The way he talks about stuff. It's like, Joe, listen.
I couldn't believe when you did that.
With how easy you got off with the slap, you got to keep the ish talking to a minimum.
Yeah.
Especially at me, homeboy, because I had
seriously, man,
open invitation to just...
A dodo bird could have ducked that slap.
Like, yeah, that wasn't very
no problem
at all.
Like,
that was just like half speed, like... And he had a beard.
Yeah.
I could have done it way
And he
way.
Cried like a little girl about that for like 2 weeks. He even talked to me about it, like, if... Pete hits me
he
hard,
was selling
man.
It.
I got a job. I can't do, you know, I can't get take a hit like that. This is a guy who's like, I'm a big football player.
God. This it's coming out. Robin's getting ready for week one. Oh, I'm a big football
Listen,
player.
It's on. So, but yeah, Joe, you can't deny it. You were worried about that slap, and Pete let you off the hook.
It did. I was going in there, and I was thinking, I'm going to just... Give him the business, and I don't know.
He did the exact opposite. of giving him the business. Like that. If you had done that to your wife, that would not have been considered spousal
abuse. She would have laughed at me.
Yeah,
and then kicked me in the balls.
Yeah, but like seriously, a cop could have been standing there, and you could have done that to Chelsea, and you would not have been arrested.
Yeah,
because he'd been like, "Oh, that was cute."
Right. They're play fighting.
Yeah,
that's their foreplay. What do you mean? I got her good.
So for those of you listening that don't know, in a separate league with Joe and Pete, the loser of the league, it's a work league, had to be slapped.
Joe went like 1-15 or something.
Yeah.
Did not do very good.
Something bad. He complained about it a lot. But
he did not like it because they rode him hard.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Joe did not like going to work every day. Just well, like
I mean, you've heard him chirping on our yeah. Slack things and talking. So, you know, Joe does not like to lose.
No.
So, but anyways, the winner of the league got to slap the loser of the league.
No, it was the winner of the league got to choose who got to do the slap bet.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And at first it was going to be like one of the girls, they're going to have one of the girls do it. And then they're like,
Pete,
would you do it? And I was like,
hell
yeah,
I'd do it. 75% of the population of women in this town would have slapped Joe harder than you did.
No, they would have.
Like, no doubt.
Who knows what reason?
I'm pretty sure my son has hit me in the face harder. So I'm making fun of both of you at the same time. Next time.
You'll get your slap. Don't worry. Should I be worried? No, it was. It was something about going there and just seeing like heavily intoxicated Joe. Just like.
Oh, he wasn't that intoxicated. Come on. It was like 11 a.m. He probably had only had 11 beers. All
right. Started drinking at 10:30.
And to be fair, I had 12, so...
No, you got... Everybody in that house was not sober.
And my son was with me, so no big deal.
Yeah. But it was just, I don't know, just had that goofy Joe face, like, don't hit me hard. And I was like, all right. Like, and now I completely regret it.
Yeah. And you're never going to get that chance
again. No, I never will get that chance
ever.
Again.
Never again.
I'm going to have, like, night terrors, just like...
Yeah.
I did it! Just like, you had the dream again, didn't you? I did.
Because if you tried to hit him for any other reason, he would break you. I'm sorry, Pete.
No.
But Joe would.
No. I've taken down bigger trees than
Joe. Would rage Joe. That ass.
No.
Oh, are you kidding?
No.
I've seen you try to hit him. I don't think you've ever hit anything in your life. So.
That's good. I hope people think that way. Not that it'll ever happen, but I like that. People think that way.
You never know.
Because
maybe you're the gentle giant.
I am. To all my friends and the 95% of the people, incredibly nice guy. But I have my stories.
Ooh.
I have my stories.
Mysterious Pete Livingston.
I don't always talk about all of them. But there was the college years where stuff went down.
Like... podcasts about
Nintendo. No, I will not be doing oh, I thought you were going to say, are you going to be doing podcasts about it? I was like, no.
I mean, in your college years, you did podcasts about video games.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't podcast until 3 years ago, till Los Livingston Brothers.
Whoa.
We never podcasted in college. But yeah.
Closing notes. What are your thoughts? Where do you think you finish?
On top.
on top?
Nobody could take me down. Oh, you mean in fantasy football?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd take on any of these scrubs.
If I was asking you that question, you should be, I don't care. I'm married, man. I'll finish anywhere.
I don't think I'll make the playoffs. But you never know. It's fantasy football. Crazy things happen.
Who's your surprise makes the playoff and the playoffs, and then surprise doesn't make the playoffs?
I don't think there will be a surprise makes the playoffs. I know that sounds weird, but I think that it's pretty. If things go as planned, I think that, you know, it'll be like you, Elliot, Joe, and I don't know, like Scott or somebody. And I think Scott made it the first year.
He did.
I don't think
the championship game against me.
I don't think it'll be. I don't think there will be any big crazy unless somebody just comes up on absolute gold on the waiver wire, like a CJ Anderson or something like that. I don't see anybody like
being a big surprise. So you think Keyser misses out again?
Yes.
And who else? You think Tim can't follow up with his...
Tim drops to 12th.
Yeah. Bummer. No. Bummer. To 12th? All the way to... Come on. He's got to get out 12th.
I don't know. Who do you have making the playoffs before we get out of here?
I think that Joe comes in at the top of our division. And then I think followed by that, we have Keyser. I think Tim makes the playoffs because I think he has to. He's too damn smart.
That'd be sweet.
And then I think I close in on,
Tim is
the final spot.
Tim is incredibly smart, very good fantasy sports manager at like everything but apparently football. Amazing with football, at basketball, like everything.
He's pretty good at he's in our baseball league too, and he made the playoffs last year. This year he's kinda sold out and is not paying.
But he's top of the power rankings.
In our baseball league? I don't think so. We don't have power rankings, first of all.
Well, he was.
So.
Or maybe he's talking about a different league.
But I think that Keyser finally breaks through and takes through the bad sports puns division. I think Joe wins our division, the He-Man Women Haters Club. And I think that a Phoenix for Kelvin, your brother, wins the Roger Goodelliot division. And I think I take the wild card.
Very nice. And nobody in this league will be fighting each other.
Probably not. If you ask Yahoo based on draft grades, it goes Joe, myself, Keyser, and then Scott are the A-rated teams. And then Tim is next on that list. If you care about that stuff. Sometimes it means stuff. Sometimes it doesn't. You never know.
All right, that'll do it. We're at 1:06. Thank you for listening to our special makeup episode. Tim should be done with his game.
Pretty soon.
About now.
Joe will show up and hopefully bring us beer since we drank all of it during this hour of debauchery.
Well, no, we were... What time did you get over here? You got over here a little bit ago.
I have no idea, man. I don't...
Robin's blacked out already.
Totally.
By beers, they were growlers.
I don't remember. Anything we covered in yesterday's podcast that we need to quickly shout out?
No, we, for the most part...
Aside from Tim's 25 minutes of defending, drafting.
Yeah, well, we'll do that again when Tim gets back. We'll do it again.
It's probably going to be twice as long. You know, we've just caused ourselves... Because we talked more shit about him.
I know.
So the last time he felt defensive and gave us 15 minutes, this time we're just going to have to like leave and let him talk for 45 minutes.
So... I think what we'll do is we'll get Tim in here. We'll talk about some bets that we need to make. Hopefully no bets that involve us hitting one another. I don't think that would be appropriate.
Thankfully, both Pete and I followed the rules and did not wear pants. Yep. So we can't close this episode with making fun of someone who's wearing pants.
Joe, do you have anything to say? Any goodbyes?
I don't see Joe. I don't think he's got anything.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Good night.
Deuces.
Hey, if you want to keep following Los Livingston Brothers, you can see us on Facebook. Just go to the Los Livingston Brothers fan page. Give us a like, leave comments, all that good stuff. And on iTunes, make sure to subscribe and also give us a nice, pretty-looking review and throw 5 stars up on us, because we are like a Rob Van Dam frog splash, because it's the 5-star frog splash. On top of that, if you don't use iTunes to listen to your podcast, you can also go to LosLivingstonBrothers.com, click on the Radio Shows tab, and you'll be able to listen to all the shows dating back to our very first show at KCY in 2011.
Man, that's a long time ago. I'm old.